So last week, if you missed it, we started a series on the friend of God. We're on part two of it today. And really this series is about how to develop really a divine connection with God. I mean, it's one thing to surrender your life to Him, but then it's another to really commit your life and go deeper. And I want to challenge you as a follower of Christ never to settle in your relationship and say, I'm good. Right, I don't need to go any deeper. I'm as deep as I want to get. Let me just tell you, it doesn't matter how many years you've been serving the Lord. How many of you know you can still go deeper? Amen. Amen. You can still go deeper. And I was thinking of this verse as I was praying over this message out of Philippians chapter 3. And this is the Apostle Paul. And I really wanted to kind of dig down into it for a second before we get into the whole message, but he says this, not that I have already obtained all this. So he's talking about something he's already obtained or not obtained or have already been made perfect. So even he knows I'm not perfect yet. Anybody here perfect yet? I had to put my hand down. He goes, but I press on to take hold of, and I just highlighted this word that, hold of that for which Christ Jesus. What is the that? What is it that he's trying to take a hold of? In order to find that out, and I don't have him on the screen, but you got a Bible, but he tells what that is. In verse 8, he goes, I want to, you know, the infinite value of knowing Christ. That's what he desired. I want to know him, not just know about him. You know, there's a difference. A lot of people know about him, but he actually wants to know him. And in verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And he even says, even the fellowship, think about this, of his suffering. What in the world? He's saying, I want to go deeper in God. I want to know Christ. I want my relationship to go deeper. So he's saying, listen, I'm not there yet, but I'm on my way. He goes, I'm pressing on. And in verse 13, he goes, brothers, and let me just add sisters, he goes, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. So he's still talking about, I want that deeper relationship. But he says, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. And then he says, I press on towards the goal to win. And there's that word right there, the prize for which Christ has called me heavenward. Listen, that prize is a close, intimate relationship with God. Amen. And how many of you want that prize? Amen. Right? And here's the thing. Sometimes when we think of prize, like you do a raffle and, ooh, I want a prize. This is different because this isn't a prize that you just get once. It's a prize that the deeper you get, the more you get of Him. Amen. The deeper you go with the Lord, the more you begin to have deeper fellowship. How many of you guys have noticed that in your life? The deeper I get, I want more and more of Him. That should be what we're all striving for. Depth and trust. And this was a feeling that I gave last week in case you missed it. A friend of God, it's really kind of a definition. It's an active relationship that involves depth and trust. Amen? How many of you like shallow? How many of you would like to say, I want a shallow relationship with God? No, I don't think anybody would say that. I mean, even as much, especially if you're like married, you're like, yeah, I just hope my wife and I just keep things shallow. Anybody in that boat right there? Men, you better not raise your hand. I'm just telling you. So no, we want to go deeper. And that should be our desire with our relationship with God, is that we go deeper and deeper in it. So I shared this just briefly again last week. There's three levels of relationship with God. There's the fan, the people that admire from a distance. And remember, I said that 67% of Americans say that they believe in God, they believe in Jesus. But how many of you know that can't be true of people actually living for the Lord? Right? Our nation would be a whole lot different if that was the case. So there's a lot of people, they believe in Jesus, they believe in God, but they kind of stand back at a distance because they haven't really allowed Him to change your life. But then once you surrender your life to the Lord, you become a follower of Christ, one who is actually walking obedience to the Lord. Like you've gotten baptized, you're like, okay, God, I'm serving you. I'm allowing your word to change my life and become more who you want me to be. But I want to take it even one step further because I believe this is where God wants us as not just a follower, to become a friend of God that pursues personal depth and trust with the Lord. Amen? I just want to say, that's what I want. I want to go deeper in Him. I don't want to just be a follower. I want to be a friend of God. And I want to tell you today that everyone, and we just sang that song, I am a friend of God. We can walk in friendship with God in a deeper way. Amen? But how many of you realize the ball's in your court? All right, the ball's in your court. So last week we talked about the first person in the Old Testament that God said He was a friend. Who remembers who that was? Abraham, right? He was. I mean, I love it. It's like several times. If I have a tombstone, who knows what'll happen? Maybe the Lord will come. I wanted to say "friend of God" on there. Amen. Isn't that a good phrase? I don't care if anything else is written on there, but I want to be God's friend. Amen. And then today I want to talk about the second person I mentioned, and I think by mistake I said David, but in fact it is actually Moses who we're going to talk about today. And I think most of us know who Moses is. If you don't, just think about Charlton Heston splitting the Red Sea or the Prince of Egypt, whatever one you... But he's the one that delivered the Israelites out of the... that God used to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. Let me just say, with 2 million people that he led out, how many of you know that was a big task? Yeah. All right, anybody want that job? Like, where do I sign up for that? I want to take 2,000 complaining, grumpy people and walk around the desert for 40 years. Yeah, I don't think so. I wouldn't want that. But here's the thing. Moses, if he wasn't a friend of God, I don't think he would have been able to do it. They would have driven him crazy. So let me show you this about Moses. In Exodus 33, it says, Moses used to take a tent, pitch it outside the camp, some distance away, calling it the tent of meetings. And anybody inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meetings outside the camp. And when Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrance of their tent, watching Moses till he entered the tent. I always thought that was a little bit weird. It's like, what's going on there? But in verse 11, check out what happens when Moses went in. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with a friend. How many of you know that's a close relationship right there? Anybody desire God to speak face to face with them? Like, I don't know. That might be a little bit scary on one aspect, but that conversation of being able to commune with God like that, that's why I titled this message, A Conversation with a Friend. That's really what we're talking about, because that's where God wants us to be able to be on that kind of a level. Friendships come in different levels, don't they? How many of you know you see friendship different when you're younger? I was thinking of this as I was praying over this message, but our granddaughter, she's 6 now, but I think she was like 3 or 4. And Timothy, I don't know, you may remember, we went to, what's the spaghetti place there in Folsom? Yeah, thank you. I forgot the name of. So we're there. I don't remember what we came. I think we went after church or something, or Mother's Day, or anyway, it was a long line. And we were waiting and we're waiting and the kids are there. And all of a sudden, Abby found a friend, another girl around her age, and they were just playing. We're all like getting impatient while we're waiting. But now she's made like her best friend, even though she didn't know her name. All right. How many of you know when you're that age, you will find best friends? And it's like, oh, I played with them all day. Well, what's their name? I don't know, but they're my best friend. And so that's just kind of what your mind is out there. Now, when you get older, say high school, college, your friends kind of become the people that you do life with. Oh, you know what? We hang out. We took these classes. We did that. But as you get older in your 30s, 40s, 50s, I can't attest to 60s yet, but I'm just saying at this point, how many of you know the older you get, it's not so much about who you do life with. Do you realize that you can do life with people and still not know them? Like people you see this on the news sometimes, some kind of crime happened or some horrible thing happened in a neighborhood, and then they start interviewing the neighbors, and it's like, hey, listen, did you think? Well, I didn't know. They were really nice. We talked all the time, but guess what? You didn't know them. Sometimes it's like, we went to church with them, but that doesn't mean I know you. Right? Here's the thing. You can be around people and still not know them. Isn't that true? And so the fill-in in your notes, the depths of conversation, really determines the depth of your friendship. If all you do is kind of greet somebody like we did a minute ago, and you're going to like, oh, yeah, I know that person. Well, you kind of you know them a little bit, but how many of you know you don't really know them? And that's why I say, you know what, the people that I know the best, that I have deeper conversation, our men's Bible study on Friday, I get to know them a little bit more. Our life group on that we do, we got one coming up this Friday. We develop deeper relationships, even our prayer group on Thursday, because we actually talk and pray and care about one another and things that are going on. Real relationships, we actually got to get real with them. We got to become vulnerable to one another. And I know a lot of people, I don't know about that. I don't trust. Anybody ever been burned by being vulnerable to somebody? All right? It happens. So a lot of times people back off, but it's like, God, if we're going to go in a deeper relationship, I've got to be transparent in my life at one point. I can't just keep, if I keep the wall up, guess what? I kept the wall up. And all of my relationships will stay surface relationships. So here's the thing. Becoming a friend of God, our conversation has to go past even where I present my needs to Him. Oh, God, I need this. I'm praying for that. I need this, that, and the other thing. Peace out, God. I'm gone. How many of you know it's got to go beyond that? Amen? You got to be able to be vulnerable. You got to have those deep conversations with God. So the reality is, if you want to develop a friendship with God, we actually have to work on our communication with God. Amen? We got to work on, we got to grow in that. And I want to challenge you to grow in that relationship. Listen, Moses was a master at this. In the book of Exodus alone, 65 times there's this phrase comes up, the Lord said to Moses. All right, how many of you know he's having conversations with God? The Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, and they were deep conversations. And we always talk, oh God, I want to have a relationship. I want direction in my life. Anybody ever pray for direction in your life? Let's be honest. It's like numerous times. And you know, if you've been in church a while, you know this verse out of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct our path. That is a great promise to claim, but guess what? How does God direct your path? Have you ever thought about that? I'm quoting the scripture, but how is God actually going to direct my path? Well, He speaks to us. He gives us a direction in our heart, but we have to learn how to actually hear Him. So if you don't actually recognize the voice of God, how is God going to direct you? How many of you know God doesn't send up big red flashing arrows saying, go this way? Wouldn't that be nice? It's like, God, can you just bring out the red flashing arrow? No, He wants us to listen to Him. He wants us to begin to get close enough that we can begin to recognize His voice. Amen? So a friend of God has regular communication with God. And I believe that's why Jesus told His disciples, after He's been spending time with them, talking to them, He says this, I no longer call you a servant. And let me just ask this question. Are we servants of God if you've given your life to Him? Yes. Of course we are. Yeah, but let me just say, that's the starting point. When you first give your life to the Lord, yes, we are a servant of God, and I'm going to live my life like that, but I want to tell you, you don't have to stay there. That's not where God wants us to end up. Because what happens with a servant? A servant just simply obeys whatever you're told. Okay, don't do this. Okay, make sure I do that. And you just kind of follow the rules. So believe it or not, God wants more for your life than that. He wants more of a relationship with you than just as a servant. And look what He goes on to say. I no longer call you servant because a servant doesn't know what his master's business is. A lot of time people are just like, well, I'm serving God. Don't do this. Why doesn't He want you to do that? I don't know. I'm just not supposed to do that. Or I'm supposed to do that. Why is that? I have no idea. I'm just doing what He told me. All right. How many of you know that's a pretty shallow relationship? God wants you to go. And so what's He go on to say? He says, instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. How many of you know that requires conversation? That requires spending time with Him. I mean, wouldn't that be great to understand what God is thinking? God, why don't you want me to? I mean, listen, sometimes God is saying walk by faith, but a lot of times God is saying, listen, this is what I want you to do, and here's the reason why. And you begin to walk in that. Can you imagine how much less stress we would have in our life if we could actually have those conversations with the Lord? Like, how many? Has anybody noticed the stock market has gone a little low? Right? If you don't have anything in it, you're like, hey, it doesn't bother me. But listen, you can look at that and like, I'm not stressed. God's still in control. I was hearing on the news, Iran is close to getting nuclear weapons. And it's like, we can freak out about it. And like, oh, no, the bombs are going to come. No, God's still in control. I'm not going to freak out. You may get a call from your doctor who says, listen, we need to talk. How many of you know that's never a good call? All right? And it's like, but you don't have to freak out about it. Right? Because God is your friend, and you can trust him, and you can realize that no matter what comes my way, God is with me. Right. Amen? He's walking with me. He's going to be there with me, and he's going to get me to the other end. Right? What is Psalms 23? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he is with us. See, if you don't realize God's with you, if I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death and God's not around, I'm going to panic. And then I'm going to be freaking out over that. But when you know God is your friend and he's going to get you there, and guess what? He's going to get us to the other side. Amen. Amen. That is what is available. And I believe this. I believe that the friends of God, we have unique insight and experience that other people don't have. Right? Not because we're smarter. Oh, yeah, I'm just so smart and I'm so holy. No, none of that at all. It's because of what God has done. And my question is, when was the last time that you were in God's word and God actually spoke a word to you? Right? We've got to begin to listen. And hear me. How many of you believe God loves everybody the same? I believe that. Yeah, God loves us all. But I do want to say this. It doesn't mean everybody has the same friendship level with God. Amen? Not everybody's got that same level. Friendship with God, really, it's, I want you to hear this. This is about what you bring to the table. Because he's done everything that he can to have intimate relationship, and he's not buddy-buddy with everybody. I'm just telling you. There's a part of it that we've got to pursue. There's a part of it that is on us to say, God, I want this relationship to go deeper. I love this quote by Matthew Henry. If you do Bible study, he's written commentaries. He's pretty thoughtful. But he says this, those who by faith live a life of communion with God cannot but know more of his mind than other people. Does that make sense? Kind of think about it. If we live in communion with God, we're going to know more of the mind of God simply because we're in the presence of God. Amen? And then he goes on to say, this quote goes a little further, they have better insight than others into what is present and a better foresight of what is to come. These are the people that walk with joy and cool, level heads no matter what comes their way. And people are looking at him like, well, why aren't you panicking? It's like, I got the peace of God. There's nothing that can replace that. Friendship with God, I want to go deeper than him. So I want to give you today just three points on how to develop a friendship with God. And even if you've got a friendship with God, how to take it even deeper. Amen? How to take it deeper. Number one is don't let your past failures keep you from a friendship with God. And I can't tell you how many people I meet that disqualify themselves based off of what they've done, right? Oh, I did this. God will never accept me. And even if they get to the point, okay, well, God may let me go to heaven, but I'm going to have a little shack on the outskirts somewhere because I've really blown it big time. Listen, Moses, we're learning from Moses. How many of you know Moses made some mistakes in life? He did not live a perfect life. As a matter of fact, let me give you one of his biggies. Exodus chapter 2. It says one day, he's about 40 years old right here. Moses had grown up. He went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. And then I love this, verse 12. And I highlighted it. Glancing this way and that way. Like he's like looking. And why is that? Seeing nobody? He killed the Egyptian, and he hid him under the sand. It's like, did he think that the sand wasn't going to blow and reveal that eventually? But I love that. I mean, Moses, if you didn't realize that, he was an early hitman, right? He was in the mafia there at that time. No, I'm just kidding. But he made a big mistake at 40 years old, right? But if we see 40 years later, Moses is the one that's leading the people out of Israel. Something happened from between age 40 and age 80. He had an encounter with God where he realized, listen, I can have friendship and relationship with God despite my past mistakes. Amen? And I think every one of us in this room, everybody that may be watching online, we need to know that, that your mistakes do not disqualify you. As a matter of fact, perfection is not a requirement for friendship with God. Aren't you thankful for that? Thank you, God. Thank you that I don't have to be perfect, because I've already failed that years ago, right? Decades ago. God has no perfect friends. That is good news. I mean, all you got to do is read the Bible. Look at the different heroes of the Bible. We talked about Abraham last week. He slept with his servant and had a baby. Moses, we just talked about, he murdered a guy. And then a number of years later, King David comes along and he does both. Right? He slept, committed adultery, and killed somebody. So it's like, wow, okay, you guys are bad, but if you can have a friendship, how many of you guys have killed anybody here? No, please don't raise your hand. I hadn't done that, so maybe I'm okay. I can have friendship with God, amen? You can have friendship with God, let me just say this, despite your failures.
That's right.
Amen? Why? Because our friendship with God is not based on who we are, and it's not even based on how good we are. Amen? You guys got that? We experience friendship with God about because of how great he is, because of what he has done. As a matter of fact, Ephesians 1:7 says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of God's grace. That's how we can have relationship with him. Our friendship with God is because of his grace, not our good works. Well, I've been really good this week. God, I made it to church. I actually gave in the offering, and I prayed 3 times this week. So I must be really good, right? It's not based on that. It's because of the grace of God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. How many of you know we live in a culture today that we call, that this is a popular word, cup two words, cancel culture. People get canceled. You say something they don't like, they cancel you. You do something they don't like, they cancel you, right? And people are quick to do that. Oh, my Facebook, let me just, anybody, if you have like social media, been defriended because you posted something, right? There's several of you guys. So I'm not asking you if you've done it to anybody else. So I don't delete people. I just unfollow them so I don't have to see their stuff. But here's the thing. We cancel people way too quickly.
Yeah.
They blew it. You're dead to me. How many of you know God doesn't cancel any of us? Amen. Even though we blow it, even though we make bad choices sometimes, God does not cancel you. And I want you to hear that. He loves us. He's always waiting. Just like the prodigal son dad that was out there waiting for him to come back, God is always waiting for us. Amen? That means we can approach him. That's why, I don't have the verse up here, but Romans 8 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, condemnation is that feeling of guilt and oh man, I'm horrible. God's not going to want me. Like when you feel condemnation, how many of you know you don't want to go to church? Isn't that true? It's like, oh man, I blew it big time. I'm not going this week because God's going to strike me down. No, he's not. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. When we have those feelings, we got to remember who it's coming from. Right? God wants us to come close, so don't allow your failures to keep you from drawing close to him. Amen? The second one in your notes is to be intentional to get close to God. How many of you know friendships don't just automatically happen? Well, I accepted Jesus, so yeah, we're best buddies. No, you've got to actually draw in. It's like somebody, maybe you've done this with somebody. Hey, listen, we should hang out sometime. And then they reply, yeah, we should. And then nothing ever happens. Why is that? You didn't set a time, right? You weren't intentional about it. And let me just say, good intentions do not build friendships. Well, I meant to do that. Well, I meant to do that. Well, we were going to do that. Well, that we were going to have that time. You never do it. I mean, that's true in marriage, too. Let me just say that. Little free marriage advice right there. You better be intentional about dating your spouse still. Amen? And having that time. But I hear people all the time, oh, yeah, God and I are best friends. We're best buddies. So let me just ask this. When was the last time you and God had a time together? Amen. Just you and God, right? Are you intentional about getting there? I mean, look, we're going to look at Exodus 20 when God gave the Ten Commandments. There, Moses is going up to the mountain. How many of you know God wanted the people all to hear his voice? But Moses is the only one that's going up to Mount Sinai. And as we read it, it's a crazy scene. Thunder, lightning, smoke, all this stuff. I don't know about you. I'd be a little scared to go up that mountain too. All right? I'd be a little scared. But here, check out how this story plays out. Exodus 20, 18. When the people saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. I understand that. And what did they do? They stayed at a distance. Like, I'm not going there. And I want to tell you, when it comes to the things of God, there's a lot of people that still, they may not see thunder and lightning, but it's like, I don't really understand God that much. I don't understand prayer. What is that stuff? It's kind of weird. I don't understand worship. So I'm just going to stay at a distance. And I'm just going to step back. And look at verse 19. It says that the people stayed at a distance, and they said to Moses, speak to us yourself, and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us, or we will die. Was that true? No, they weren't going to die. God wanted them to come close, but they're like, you just tell me what God has to say. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There's times as a pastor, people are like, well, just tell me what God is saying. Just tell me what God, how many of you know, I don't have a quicker line to God than you do, all right? We all got, and I've said this before, we all got the same bat phone to God. You got the exact same connection that I have, and we need to use that. It's not about me telling you what God says. We need to find out ourselves what God says, amen? We need to get a word from God. And so Moses says to the people, don't be afraid. Like, basically, I understand you're scared. There's lightning, there's thunder, there's smoke, there's all of that. But he says, God has come to test you. This was a moment of testing that he was bringing him through. What does it say? To test you so that you will fear God and will be with you to keep you from sinning. Let me tell you, when God begins to speak through you and to you, it changes who you see God as. How many of you know we have more reverence for God? Like, let me just say, if I stopped speaking and all the power went out, but all of a sudden you heard God's voice, this big booming voice, how many of you would walk a little bit more in reverence to God? It's like, oh man, you know what? I just heard God. I am not going down that road. I am not going to go down and keep sinning in that direction, right? And so God teaches us, the closer you get to him, the more you hear his voice, and the more that it keeps you on the right path, amen? Verse 21, look at what it says. The people, even after that warning, they remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness, right? They chose. We have a choice. Am I going to stay distant? Am I going to stay in the background? Am I going to stay on the edge? And I believe this is why Moses was a friend of God. He was willing to get close. He was willing to draw close. And let me just say this. As your pastor, with all the love and compassion, how many of you know each one of us are as close to God as we want to be? Isn't that true? Think about it. No, I want to be closer. Listen, the barrier that separated us and God, Jesus paid. That sin barrier is gone, and it's now up to you and I to draw closer to him. That's on us. Jesus already made that first step by going to the cross. The Bible says that we love him because why? He first loved us. And this is what I realize, is that God's closest friends are those that actually draw close to him. Amen? Isn't that true? The people that will say, okay, I'm going to make time in my schedule to spend time with God. I'm actually going to rearrange my schedule. Like, I know sometimes you have a busy morning. Anybody ever have busy mornings? And it's like, and you don't have to do it in the morning. For me, it works out well in the morning. But if I have to do something early and I have to get up early, guess what I do? I actually get up earlier than that because I want to make sure I have my time with God. Right? Not out of a religious, oh, I got to do that, but I need my time with God. People that draw close, they're thinking about Him. And so when was the last time that you were intentional about having time with God? Not like, okay, God, well, if I can fit you in, if I got a few minutes here or there, then I'll do that. No, and I was just, this verse right here, James 4:8, come near to God, God's going to come near to you. Like I said, He took the first step by removing that barrier. Now God is saying, I want you. Here's the thing we got to realize, God wants us to draw near to Him. God wants us to be intimate with Him. He's not like ready to destroy you or anything like that. He's not distant, but here's another thing. He's not going to force Himself on you either. Amen? He's not going to like, okay, you're going to spend time with me whether you like it or not. No, we have to take that step to Him. And He is faithful. Haven't you noticed that when you will begin to draw closer to Him, all of a sudden you feel closer to God? Because guess what? There was two movements that took place. You moved and God moved closer. If you're feeling like, man, I feel like God is so distant, let me tell you, it's not because God has moved, it's because we move. Right? You can always move in the other direction. So I just want to give you this because I don't know where everybody's at. But if you were just starting at the beginning, like, okay, how do I have that time? How do I do that? How do I start coming close to God? I want to give you just a 15-minute approach. Start out with 5 minutes of worship. Get up, get your coffee, because that's the first thing I do is get my coffee. Amen? Anybody with me on that? And listen, how many of you know the temptation when you first get up? Oh, man, I wonder what's going on in social media, right? Who liked my post from yesterday because it was a really funny one, right? What else is happening here? Or maybe you're like, because the news is like happening every day, oh, I got to see what's happening on the news, right? I get up, oh, what's happening here? Oh, man, oh, I can't believe that. Oh, that's horrible. How many of you know you watch it long enough, then you're depressed? All right? So my encouragement, put the phone down. Don't look at it. Don't even pick it up, because if you do, I mean, I'm telling from experience, if you do, you're going to get in on it. You're going to start looking and reading it. So first thing, like, God, I want to spend 5 minutes in worship. Do you know what that does? Is it refocuses your mind. You begin to put you put Him first. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And listen, how do I worship? Maybe you're not, maybe you don't have songs. Maybe you don't have that in your head. We got this incredible thing. Okay, pick up your phone in that case and go. You can play worship on YouTube. Right? You can go online and watch one of our services and listen to the beginning where there's worship and just spend 5 minutes, at least 5 minutes. I believe that when you do that, it's going to be all of a sudden 10 minutes. And, it may be end up being more because you're just spending time worshiping God at that point. But do that. Get your mind focused. Try to do at least 5 minutes. And then you want to do 5 minutes of Bible reading. Get into God's Word. And I do want to say this because I know we give out devotionals. Those are great. Read that. But how many of you know you got to actually get into the Bible itself at times? Amen. Read a if you're not going to do anything, read the devotional, but you got to get into God's Word. You got to see what God says. And you got to allow God to speak to you through His Word. Amen? So get into that. Allow God to give you a word. And then just end with 5 minutes of prayer. And you're like, wow, I can do 15 minutes. How many of you know? But this is a starting place. I can begin to do it. I want to promise you, the more you begin to do that, yeah, sometimes that time's going to expand. Sometimes, whatever reason, that may be what you get. But just begin to make that a habit. And let me just say this about the prayer. Because the more vulnerable you are, the closer your relationship becomes. The deeper the relationship gets. And I believe that's true with any relationship. You want a relationship to be deeper? You got to be real, amen? And listen, you don't got to act like everything is great. Oh, God, thank you for this time. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for all these amazing, wonderful things in my life. I mean, if you got that, great. But how many of you know God already knows the truth in your life? You realize God knows the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? I love that phrase that comes out. But he still loves us. He knows if you're worried. He knows if you have fear. He knows the pains that you're going through. Why not actually bring that to God? Like, God, I'm struggling with this. I'm afraid of this. I've got this going on in my mind. And listen, when you're real with God, God is drawing closer to you, and he begins to speak peace to those situations. That's just what happens. And so here's what I want you to understand about prayer. And I kind of mentioned it earlier. It's not just about petitioning God. It's about being personal with God. Amen? It's about being real. Moses was real with God. Moses, like, was very real. What do I mean by that? Do you know how many times in Exodus that Moses would go to God and say, God, why did you give me all these people? How many of you know that's being real? Like, God, these guys are driving me crazy. I want to slap a few of them around, Lord. Can I do that? And it made me remember years ago, some of you guys may remember Dr. Youngi David Cho from Seoul, Korea. He's passed away now, but he pastored, at that time, I think it may still be the largest church in the world. Believe it or not, at one point it hit 1 million people in their church, slightly bigger than our church. And he was known for being a man of prayer. He would spend 3-4 hours in prayer every day. And people asked him, and I love this quote. You got to kind of understand the humor here. He says, Pastor Cho, why do you pray so much? Why do you spend so many hours? And he responded, he goes, you don't understand. He goes, I have almost 1 million people that come to my church, and I have thousands of deacons. And he goes, I hate so many people. And he says, so I got to pray. I want you to think about that for a minute. He's like, well, doesn't he just love everybody? I don't know. Anybody ever get on your nerves? Yeah. Right? Anybody ever push your buttons and it's like, I got to pray. And he's like, just like Moses, who was leading 2 million people, he had to pray. He had to get real with God. So come on. You're like, well, I can't imagine that. Let me just say this. Anybody ever ask God, why did you give me this spouse, Lord? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, have anybody sit next to your spouse? You're like, I'm not saying, men are just like this. I'm not saying a word, right? So, let me go with this. How about teenagers? When they're 2 and 3, they're so cute and so wonderful, and then they hit 14 years old, and you're like, why, Lord? Why, Lord? I don't know if this one's going to make 15, God. this may be it. This may be and I'm not picking on anyone right here. But how many of you know, it's just being real with God. That's all I'm trying to say. All right? It's just being real with God. God, I'm struggling here. This is a challenge. I need your help. The more real you are with God, the stronger your relationship's going to be. Amen? And one more thing on prayer. All healthy relationships, they need both consistent and extended communication. So yes, you may have a 15-minute time, but I want to tell you, eventually you need to be able to have more time than that. Like, if you want a healthy relationship, you can't just have a hit-and-miss relationship, even, you know, with a spouse or anybody. And with God, I've got to be consistent. I've got to have those times. Let me show you another thing in the life of Moses. 24, going up to the mountain again. The Lord said to Moses, come up here on the mountain. And what did he tell him? Stay here, right? Everybody say stay. Stay. He wanted him to stay right there. And let me tell you, in our time with the Lord, we've got to learn that there's got to be times that we just need to stay there. And you may not even have any words. But God is saying, I want you to stay. We used to call this, we had a church name for being stay. Who knows what that word is? To stay in the presence of the Lord. Starts with a T. Tarry before the Lord. Am I just so old school on that? Anybody remember hearing tarrying before the Lord? I didn't have a clue what that meant. I'm just telling you, and I'm like, what does that mean to tarry? And, you know, it simply means to linger in his presence with expectation. Learning how to linger. Listen, that is something, because we don't like quiet time, do we, when there's nothing going on? But learning to be quiet before the Lord, what are we doing? We're waiting to hear him speak to us. Because if all we do is the talking, guess what? It's like, well, I didn't hear the Lord say anything. I talked the whole time and said amen, and I was out of there. No, we got to learn to stay in his presence. How many of you know your prayer time and your quiet time is not just a box to check and say, boom, I did it. No, it's about building a relationship with God. And so look what he goes on to say. He says, stay here. And he goes, and I will give you the tablets of stone, which the law and commands it have given. So here's the thing. How do I relate that to my life? When I stay in the presence of God and I learn to wait for him, that's when God begins to speak to me. He gave Moses. Think about it. If Moses was like, hey, listen, I went up there, I'm out, he wouldn't have got the Ten Commandments. And so he learned to stay. He learned to tarry before the Lord, and God gave him a word. It's not a matter of rushing. And then look, how long did he stay? He stayed on that mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Anybody got that amount of time to go up on a mountain? You wish you did, right? Listen, if you want to know how to experience significant times with God, we got to learn to stay in his presence. We can't be so rushed. Isn't that true? I got to slow myself down. And I know we live in a society that's rush, rush, rush. Got to get here. Got to get there. You know, I mean, I used to be the person that would go 10, 15 miles an hour over so that I could get to the next light 3 seconds before the next person. Got to get there. Got to get there. As I've gotten older, I've chilled out a little bit, and now I see them doing it, and I'm like, yeah, how'd that work out for you? Right? So listen, not everybody can take off 40 days, but I challenge you to find time just to be able to sit in God's presence. To spend some time in prayer, but wait for him. And listen, I want to tell you, when you spend time in God's presence and God meets you there and you get a word from God, how many of you know it doesn't just like speak to your heart, it changes you. You're like a different person. And I want to tell you, those times will not just affect you. It'll affect those around you. If you have children, it'll affect them. It'll affect your grandkids, your neighbors, your spouse, your coworker, people that you just meet in the marketplace. When you walk out, look what happened to Moses in 34:29. He came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets in his hands. He was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. How many of you have ever come upon somebody and you just sense the peace of God on them? You just sense the joy of the Lord on them, and they may not have even seen anything. What is it? It's not like they worked it up. Ooh, I'm just so excited about being a Christian. Hallelujah, you know, and get my flashlight and shine it on me. No, it is the presence of the Lord. When you spend time in God's presence, it begins to reflect in who you are. And you just sense that. So spend time with him. So I'm almost done. Number one, he didn't let his failures hinder him. They was intentional about spending time with God. And number three, the greater the friendship, the greater the expected level of obedience. Isn't that true? Moses knew, listen, if I'm going to get close to God, I'm going to be accountable for the things God speaks to me. And I think that's true for us today. If I want to draw closer to God and God tells me something, I can't say, I don't want to do that today, Lord. I don't want to do that today. I want you to hear my words here. You cannot have friendship with God on your own terms. Amen? Man, that's quiet. You cannot do friendship with God and still do life the way you want to do it. I'm just telling you the truth. You can't expect to have like a deep communion with God and you're still living like the world, right? It's just not going to happen. When you come to God, guess what? We got to come on his terms. We got to come on God's agenda. We got to say, God, whatever you speak to me about, I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to be obedient to do it. That's how that relationship grows. Because of that obedience, you're going to be able to continue in that friendship with God. Now listen, if you're disobedient to God, it doesn't mean your relationship is severed. I want you to hear that. Just because you blew it, just because you're disobedient, it's not going to be like, oh man, I got to get re-saved again. But I want to tell you that it does mess up your friendship with God. Does that make sense? If I walk in disobedience and I do something I want to do anyway, then what I'm personally doing is I'm putting separation between me and God. You still may be saved, But that doesn't mean you're going to have that close connection anymore. Like how many of you have ever had those moments where man, I just feel like I can worship God. I've been in the presence of God. I love God. And everything just kind of happens so easy. And then things happen in your life. You make some choices. And then you feel that distance from God. You feel like, God, I'm far away from you. Why is that going on? Most likely, how many of you know you've allowed some disobedience in your life? Isn't that true? I feel like I'm preaching to a Baptist church here. No, I'm just kidding. Not picking on anybody here. So how many of you know this is some kind of hard truths you got to think about, right? If I've allowed it, listen, I'm not saying that's going to keep you out of heaven. Please hear me. I'm not saying it's going to keep you, but it will keep you out of close communion with God. It will keep you out of close communion. And so I want to challenge you to work on your obedience to God. Lord, help me walk in obedience. So believe it or not, I'm almost done. I know I said that earlier. But Moses' story really didn't. He made more mistakes. In Numbers chapter 20, it says this. The Lord said to Moses, and here's the situation that's going on. They got to a part in the desert where there wasn't any water. Surprise, surprise. Right? They were thirsty, and the people were complaining, and Moses is saying, God, we got to do something about this. So the Lord said to Moses, take the staff that you are and your brother and gather the assembly together, and what did he tell them to do? Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so that they and their livestock can drink. So what did he tell them to do? Just speak to the rock. Well, let's look and see what he did. Then Moses raised his arm, struck the rock twice with his staff, and water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Did he do what God told him to do? Was he obedient? No, not at all. He didn't do that. And I think the point that we can learn in this is that you may still do the wrong thing. You may get right results, but that doesn't mean God is pleased with you. Amen? I'm just telling you. See, a lot of people have this idea, well, I kind of did it my own way, and I still got good results, so I guess God is still okay with me. Why did God still provide water? Because he loved the people, and they still needed that. And a lot of times we measure God's blessings or God's favor in our life, whether good things or bad things happen. And here's the reality. Good things happen to bad people. And bad things sometimes happen to good people. And so we can't measure whether God is pleased with us because of the circumstances of our life, because at one day we're going to have to give an account one way or another. Amen? We're going to have to stand before him, and the end result is what we'll find out. Let's look at what happened to Moses. He says, this is what you did. You struck the rock twice. And so in verse 12, so the Lord said to Moses, because you did not trust in me enough to honor me as holy in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this community into the land I give them. You don't get to go in. How many of you, if you were Moses, you'd be a little upset about that. Are you kidding me, God? I've walked around the desert with these knuckleheads for 40 years, and you're not going to let me walk in? I don't get to go in. But listen, Moses was not angry, because guess what? He still had a friendship with God, and he knew he blew it. He knew he blew it. And here's the reality. Moses died. He was buried outside of the promised land. There was a consequence to disobedience. How many of you know God forgives our sins, but there's sometimes we still face consequences of our disobedience. Like you break the law and it's like maybe you're speeding and your cop pulls you over and you're like, oh God, forgive me. I'll never do that again. Please don't let the cop give me a ticket. Guess what? He's still going to give you a ticket, isn't he? But Lord, you must not love me. No, it's not a matter of that. There's still consequences sometimes. Thankfully, like I said, this is not about whether we go to heaven or hell, but this is about how close I'm going to live to God. Amen? We've got to maintain our relationship. That's why I'm saying that, you know, Jesus wants to be friends. We were singing, I am a friend of God. But that verse, that song comes out of that verse that I read earlier that Jesus says, I don't call you slaves, I call you friend. I didn't read the verse before, so I want to look at that one. But you are my friends if you do what I command. How many of you know this is not about being legalistic or being law? We all live by grace, don't we? It's only by the grace of God that I'm here. And so what I'm saying is this is not a heaven or hell issue. This is a matter of walking closer to God. Do I want to walk close to it? It's a matter of intimacy. It's a matter of close communion. And I'll tell you, the older I get, the more I realize that this is the last fill in your notes. Obedience, it isn't a burden when the reward is a deeper relationship with God. Amen? For me, obedience becomes, I'm not going to say always easy, but I want to say easier when I know my reward is a deeper communion with God. If I know, oh man, if I choose this road, if I choose this activity, I'm putting distance between God and I. And so there's something on the inside of me that says, no, I don't want to jeopardize my relationship with the Lord. I don't want to step further away from Him. I want to draw closer to Him. I want to draw closer to Him. And so I work on that. And so can I have everybody stand? And I just want to pray. But this is what God was putting on my heart this morning. Because I think we've all felt those times where we're closer to God. And then there's times that we feel the distance that is there. And we're like, what's going on? You know, God sometimes leads us through that not to freak out. And let me just say, every time you feel that distance is not necessarily because you sinned. Amen? It's not necessary. Oh, you must have done something. Sometimes we go through those seasons and God is teaching us something. But I think that the answer to whatever it is like, Lord, if I have done something, show me, help me to get that right. But if it's not, the answer is always draw closer to Him. Man, I'm feeling distant. Okay, well, I guess this is just where I am. No, I'm going to do what I need to do. I was reading out of Judges the other day, and it said that the people kept their oath to God daily. And I just thought, well, what do you mean? I mean, because they were kind of some rascals in Judges. But it says that they kept their oath daily. My oath is, Lord, my oath is I'm going to come before You daily because I need to. Whether I feel close or whether I feel that distant, by the end of that time, I'm going to be drawing closer to You. And I know that God is faithful and He will draw close to me. So my challenge is if you've been feeling distance and you know, man, I remember when God and I were a lot closer, my challenge is to draw closer to Him today. And I just want to pray for you guys this morning. And as He's singing this song, you didn't make room? Yeah. This song, Make Room. I just want you to take this and maybe you don't know a lot of worship songs. You can look this one up right here. The words of this song is, I will make room for You. And I think that's the challenge. If you want a deep relationship with the Lord, somehow you got to make the room in your life for Him. You can't like, oh, I got all this stuff to do. No, if you got all that stuff to do, you need even more important. You need to make room for Him. Amen? So as we sing this song, I'll pray afterwards, but you can come up here to the altar or whatever and just say, God, I am going to begin to make. I'm laying down whatever it is that has hindered me from drawing close to You. And Lord, I'm going to draw close to You. Let's just take a couple of minutes today. And can we do that?